Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion as we speak on the issue today. Governing by crisis and deceit. Governing by crisis and deceit. Have you noticed the past several years, the government on just about all levels, local, state, and national level, just about every occasion they take to govern we the people by some crisis, some imposed legislation that will force us to bow and bend to the crisis moment. We have a governess today out of the Biden administration that's already talking about declaring a health emergency in order to introduce and force by fiat climate change requirements. We already have those in the World Health Organization passing down information to the NIH, CDC, and other health agencies in America that by October, we need to have another lockdown and mask mandates to prevent a pandemic in America again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe all of that is a total manufactured lie to control we the people. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a major, major problem in America today where we have deviated from our constitutional republic. We've deviated from the Word of God. We have taken it upon ourselves as human beings to determine that we can control the climate, that we can control the hand of God. And we've banned God, banned God's Word, banned the Bible. And somehow, some way, man, especially those in the Beltway in Washington today, take it upon themselves to make the determination and the decision that they can control it. And they're going to attempt to control we the people by fiat. Dr. Birx, that was the sidekick for Dr. St. Anthony Fauci, has just written a book, and she's admitted lying, fudging the figures, deceitful in what she was telling President Trump. We're going to look at that in a moment, and we'll give a little background of these issues as we face the issues today, and we'll do that before we introduce our special guest today to talk about this and other things that I believe are pertinent for we the people to hear and understand. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture, that we face the issues based on the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. Jesus speaks to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, where he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then, ladies and gentlemen, in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus points to that with a declaratory statement. It says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that should be our pathway, should be the light unto our feet. Psalms 119:105 tells us that. And yet we find many today walking in darkness because of a refusal to submit to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is truth that ought to motivate us today. And yet it was the dystopian novel called 1984, written by George Orwell, that was a secularist. And Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That's exactly what we see taking place in our world today, and especially in America, with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and the others that are supposedly leading our nation, they have one thing in mind, one goal, ladies and gentlemen, and that is the scorched earth mentality, that if we cannot control and dominate, we'll destroy everything that seems to be a something in our way, something in our pathway that's a preventative for what we're wanting to do. They're not interested in the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a powerful statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I say to you, that's my challenge each and every day to you, our listeners. May we love the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, speak the truth, stand for the truth even to death. Defend it. That's our responsibility as Christians, defending the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as answering your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located right here in the heart of Mandarin, 291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flooring 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly environment to work in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of its staff to worship in the house of God with the family of God, with their families as God intended it. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does is placing you into the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, the telephone lines will be open in just a moment. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're listening by way of internet, that area code is 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation, I believe, suffered an irreparable financial, moral, and ethical damages with the COVID pandemic scare. We were told that lockdowns and forced mask wearings and government control over all of our lives were necessary to somehow save America. If they did not do that, supposedly Americans would die by the millions, we were told at the very outset of COVID. Many doctors and scientists that knew that they were being that we were being lied to, ladies and gentlemen, were immediately silenced. Some even had their license revoked. Some were forced out of medical practice. Thousands of businesses were closed for good. Multitudes of our churches never reopened, ladies and gentlemen. And now the real truth is reaching us. The real truth is screaming out. Dr. Birx, Deborah Birx, ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading a headline, should be a shocking headline for every listener today. Dr. Deborah Birx admits that she deceived President Trump to push COVID measures as she saw them. Dr. Deborah Birx, who served as the White House coronavirus response coordinator under President Donald Trump, has admitted in a new book that she manipulated the data, quietly altered the CDC guidelines without having any authorization, end quote. In Silent Invasion, that's her book, she confesses that she devised a strategic sleight of hand method of reporting that she now describes as subterfuge. Ladies and gentlemen, this article further states Dr. Birx opposed the advice of then coronavirus advisor Scott Atlas, Dr. Scott Atlas. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pause for a moment. Dr. Scott Atlas was laughed at, mocked at, jeered against by the main media outlets in America because Dr. Birx and St. Anthony Fauci said that he was not correct. And now we're finding two and a half years later, ladies and gentlemen, that Dr. Birx is now bragging about the fact that she lied to us, that she deceived the president, that she altered the figures, that she used subterfuge to get her way. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a portion of this further. She and then CDC Director Robert Redfield agreed to quietly rewrite the guidelines and to post it on the CDC website. We would not seek approval from anyone because we were both quite busy. It might take a week or two, but we were committed to subverting, her words now, we were committed to subverting the message that was going out at that time. Dr. Birx recalls a phone call from the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, where he said, "What the blank do you think you're doing? You rewrote and posted the CDC testing stuff online." Dr. Birx said, said Meadows to Dr. Birx, "Yes, I did," she responded, end quote. While Dr. Anthony Fauci has been the front man for the media, Dr. Birx was the main influence in the White House behind the nationwide lockdowns. But after warning Americans to restrict their 2020 Thanksgiving gathering to immediate households only, Dr. Birx traveled to Delaware, where she met with four generations in her family for a traditional Thanksgiving dinner. Ladies and gentlemen, that's proof positive that we've been lied to, and I think we've been lied to on every hand. It's what I simply call governing by crisis and deceit. Governing by crisis and deceit. Ladies and gentlemen, the real facts, Dr. Birx is now publishing in her book, that she changed the data, she modified it to fit her own narrative. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Sir Anthony King Fauci now says that he's retiring at the end of the term for Joe Biden because, and I'm quoting, because he admits that when the Republicans get control of the House and the Senate, he will be sued in court. Ladies and gentlemen, he knows what he's done. He knows that it was a lie. He is very, very fully aware, ladies and gentlemen, that he deceived the nation. And as a result of that, we destroyed the economic foundation of America. We destroyed lives. And according to Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel, probably 500,000 plus people have died as a result of the COVID jab in America. And some 2.5 million have already been paralyzed and or harmed physically in America for the rest of their lives. And ladies and gentlemen, what's not been told to the American public by Sir Anthony Fauci or Dr. Deborah Birx is that the COVID jab has 1,297 side effects. 1,297 side effects. What they did not tell us, and is just now being divulged, ladies and gentlemen, in the past several months, is that they had no human trials, no human trials. We, the people, if you took the shot, I didn't. If you took the jab, you simply were the human trial for the big pharma at the expense of life and limb and the future of America, ladies and gentlemen. Fauci reveals this headline. Fauci reveals exactly when he's leaving the federal government. White House COVID-19 advisor Anthony Fauci revealed that after about five decades in federal government, he's planning on leaving his position at the end of President Joe Biden's term. Confirming he's retiring at the end of Biden's term, he said, Fauci has been the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, since 1984. During COVID-19, he became the household name when he became the face of the federal government's COVID-19 pandemic response, often generating criticism from Republicans and conservatives about his generally dire predictions about the pandemic. And ladies and gentlemen, it goes further where he states that he is sure that he will be investigated. It says here, and if Republicans win back either the House or the Senate in 2022, Fauci noted that he will surely be investigated by the GOP. But he claimed that regarding those investigations, I don't make that any consideration of my future plans and retirement. But ladies and gentlemen, it's exactly what he's doing. The old boy knows that he's lied to us. He knows that he was part and parcel of the deceit. He is fully aware of the fact that he had already, with others, patented some 30 or 40, 50 different categories and sequences of the COVID pandemic material, the pathogen, since about 2003, 2004, 2005. Ladies and gentlemen, We've been lied to, and we're still being lied to and governed by crisis and deceit even today, ladies and gentlemen. And as a result of that, thousands upon thousands of hospitals, doctors, may I say, not hospitals, but doctors, nurses, medical people, ladies and gentlemen, today are not in the healthcare industry because they have been chased out as a result of Dr. Fauci and others. Here's an article that says, scientists leaving CDC and the FDA, NIH due to bad science and political pressure. America's top healthcare agencies are facing an alarming rate of resignations, low morale, and bad science practiced by the agencies and caused by the political pressure from the Biden administration are the primary factors that make even top-level employees call it quits in the medical field. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we sit up and take notice and recognize what is taking place and do something about it. I believe it's time that in America today, we turn back to God. We honor God and trust Him in His Word. It's time, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we elect leaders across America that will secure our citizens and the Bill of Rights and will adhere to the Word of God and our Constitution. I believe it is time, ladies and gentlemen, that we go back to the basics of vetting candidates, making a determination on how we vote based on their relationship to God, their trust in the Word, and the Constitution of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're highly honored to have as our very special guest Congressman Mike Hill. Mike served in the state of Florida as District 1 House of Representatives member and is now the Christian Conservative Republican candidate for Florida House District 1. Mike, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on your show. It's always an honor and a pleasure. And your monologue, as I always say, because it's the truth, was right on target. Everything you said, I agree with 100%.
Congressman, what is the real answer? I realize that we've got to replace those in Washington. We've got to make a determination that our future as America and as Americans are in the balance, and we need to make the decision for that future, for our sons and our daughters and our grandkids. They will not have the same America that we grew up with and that we have had in these generations past. What is the focal point as you see it? Would you simply take a moment, reintroduce yourself to our audience, and say something about your background and your credentials for running and how that plays into the future for our state and for our nation as you see it?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I'm a small business owner. I own an insurance and financial services agency. Before that, I was 10 years active duty in the Air Force, leaving as a captain after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I first got into politics in 2013 when I was elected to the Florida State House in a special election for District 2, was reelected in District 2 in 2014. Then in 2018, I was elected to District 1. And then the District 1 is in the Panhandle. That's the Pensacola area. And then the Pensacola establishment primaried me in 2020. But God has given me the assignment to take back that seat for righteousness' sake. So I'm running again now. And I believe the focus has to be right now at the state level. As our Constitution says in the 10th Amendment, the power belongs to the states and to the people. And what states should do is use their nullification process, the doctrine of lesser magistrates, and nullify any illegal, unconstitutional dictate which might be coming down from Washington, D.C. We are in full authority and in full right to do that. And so I believe we must, at the state level, elect those who will adhere to the Constitution. But there's a deeper reason why they should adhere to the Constitution, Dr. Youngblood, and I believe that is because of their faith. Where do you stand in your relationship with God? And I'll tell you why that is so important. To occupy a seat, an elected seat in the state of Florida, two things have to happen. You have to, one, win more votes than your opponent, and hopefully that is done legally. And second, you must say an oath of office. That oath of office says that I do solemnly swear to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and its government and that of the state of Florida, and that I am duly qualified to perform the duties of that office, so help me God. So when you take that oath, it's not just between you and the official administering that oath, and it's not just between you and your constituents. You are promising God that you will support, protect, and defend that Constitution. And that's why I believe it needs to be someone of faith, someone who has a relationship with the living God, that they declare Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because then that oath of office becomes very solemn to them, very important, because you fear God more than man. So whenever you see a piece of legislation that is violating the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution and the Florida Constitution, that's violating that, then because of your oath of office and your fear of God, you will oppose that legislation, regardless of what leadership in your party may desire for you to do. You fear God more than you do man. So that's why I think it is so important to make sure you vet candidates who are running for office and ask them about their faith. And so many of them will just answer, well, I go to such and such church, and I go to this church, and my parents belong to that church. The devil walks into church every Sunday also.
That's so right.
Go a little deeper and ask them, well, tell me your testimony. Tell me of your salvation experience. Right. When did that happen? What was that all about? That is the true measure. If they can answer that and tell you that, then you know that they are indeed a person of faith, instead of just someone who says, well, I go to church on Easter and on Christmas. And so, Dr. Youngblood, to fight everything that we see coming down from Washington, D.C., and sometimes at the state level, we have to get to what is the root cause of it all. You know, the lockdowns, the closing of businesses, the masking of schools, in school, all of that was based on fear.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And people succumbed to fear. But God's word tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. In other words, God gives us his spirit, which is full of power and full of love, that will help us to reject fear and not take the jab. Like you, Dr. Youngblood, I never took the jab, and I never wore a mask, except for when I was flying, because they wouldn't even let you on a plane without the mask. So that was the only time I wore the mask. And since they've come to their senses, at least here in Florida, and said no mask mandates are no longer in place, I haven't worn a mask anywhere, even though there are some people walking around with masks on, again, based on a spirit of fear instead of trust in the living God.
Absolutely. Congressman, you touched on something that's dear to me in relationship to the mask. I've not worn one. Three of our physicians, I've had to find other physicians because of being ordered out of the offices with no mask on, with the ones that we've seen for years. And what, in your opinion, causes the medical profession in the state of Florida and others to continue to enforce the mask mandate on all of its patients? Either put your mask on or find another physician. What's behind that? Is it legitimate science, or are they still collecting from the COVID funds from the Biden administration?
Well, we know it is not legitimate science. It has been proven time and time again with many studies that the masks are ineffective in preventing the spread of COVID-19. So why on earth are these doctors and hospitals still requiring it? Just last week, my granddaughter had her tonsils removed, and I went to the hospital to be with her as she was going into the waiting room. And at the very opening of the hospital doors, they had masks laying there and said, masks are required. I walked right by it, walked up to my granddaughter, sat down next to her until they called her back for the procedure, and then left. Never did put it on. So we know
Man,
it's
I have
not
to
based
heart.
On
I'm
science.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we know it's not based on science. I think for some doctors, it's fear out of the threat of having their license removed. I know hospitals are probably still receiving funds from the federal government for this whole COVID debacle. I'm not sure about individual doctors, but I do know that those individual doctors are, again, operating out of fear. Fear that, that their license may be removed and thereby taken away their form of livelihood.
Congressman Hill, I'm looking at an article that says Joe Biden expected to declare a climate emergency, ram through a green agenda. Now, before reading a blurb from this massive article on that subject, that's again an indication of trying to govern by intimidation and fear among the people. This article says Biden expected to declare a climate emergency and ram through a green agenda. President Joe Biden could declare a climate emergency as soon as this week. This is dated the 19th of July. Sources told the Washington Post in a bid to implement elements of his environmental agenda as climate legislation has stalled in the Congress. Leaders leading Biden's administration officials are debating ways to advance the president's agenda, and the president is prepared to announce a number of new initiatives to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Let me pause there. Congressman Hill, let me ask the question this way. If we impose and he's trying to pass, he's been turned down because of Joe Manchin, a $52 billion Green Deal package, climate control package, $52 billion, regardless of the amount of money that's thrown at the climate scenario, does man have the authority or the ability to change the climate on a global basis 1 degree at all? Do we have that authority and that power, that ability, or is that something that God does?
No, we do not, Dr. Youngblood. I've studied this issue many times, and in fact, I did an hour-long debate with Bill Nye, the science guy, and to prepare for it, I studied this extensively. And the conclusion I came to is that our climate is primarily, the change in our climate is primarily the result of the rotation and oscillation of our planet and of the sun. In other words, as the planet rotates and night becomes day and day becomes night, that affects the temperature the most, especially the temperature in the oceans, which has the biggest effect on our climate. And then as the planet also oscillates, changing our seasons from summer to winter and winter to fall and so forth, that is its relationship, its proximity to the sun. And so it is the sun and the movement of the earth which changes our climate. For man to think that he has that power, that is shaking his fist in God's face, and is the same thing as those who were under delusion thinking at the Tower of Babel that they could build a monument up to heaven, and like Satan said, I will put my throne above the Most High. That's exactly
Absolutely.
What it
Congressman,
is.
Congressman, hold your thought there for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the top of the hour news break. Be right back after 1 minute.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.